The following content is provided to you as a ministry of Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, a high adventure Christian wilderness camp in Andrews, North Carolina. Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters exists to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through the exposition of Scripture and personal relationships in order to equip the church to impact this generation. For more information, visit our website at swoutfitters.com or follow us on Twitter using the handle @SnowbirdSwo. Enjoy the message.
Turn to Proverbs 4, because that's the passage we're going to be in. And that's a really popular thing for people to talk about when it comes to dating and relationships. They'll use that phrase. Have you ever heard that phrase, guard your heart? Raise your hand if you've ever heard it. Most of you. All right, raise your hand if you've never heard that. A few people. Okay, what happens is in Christian circles a lot of times when people are talking about relationships, they'll make that statement. They'll say, guard your heart. And so that comes from the Bible. It's two places in the Bible, and we're going to look at that tonight. And so this is basically going to be part two of what we started last night, which is in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. So we're going to dive right in. We're going to pick up down in verse 21. As soon as I can get over there. Proverbs 4 and verse 21. Verse 20. Okay, so this is in the same chapter that we studied last night where he was saying, get wisdom and guard wisdom, and he's talking about wisdom. So several times in the first part of chapter 4, in verse 5, in verse 7, in verse 11, he talks about wisdom, getting wisdom, gain wisdom. And then in each of those verses, he follows it up with guard that wisdom, protect that wisdom. And we said the word guard means to protect or keep. Now get to verse 20. He says this, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Just stop right there, because the next line is keep your heart with all vigilance. And that's the same thing as saying guard your heart. So verses 20 through 21, he's speaking to his son. He says, there's four things he tells his son to do that tonight the Word of God would tell you to do. When we listen to the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, when you open the Scripture and read it, usually it's going to have a message for you, a command for you, or instruction for you. The Bible says about itself, the Bible in 2 Timothy says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for correction and instruction and rebuke and reproof. In other words, when we read the Bible, all Scripture, it's profitable to confront things in our lives, to call us to action, to tell us. Reading the Bible is not just like reading a history book or a fictional novel. It's a call to action. In this passage, he gives us four things that he wants us to do. Watch this. First, he says, be attentive to my words. So this man who was a king, his name was Solomon, he's talking to his son, and he says, be attentive to my words. So young people, tonight, listen up. Old people, tonight, listen up. Middle-aged people, listen up. Married people, listen up. Single people, listen up. People with boyfriends, girlfriends, listen up. People that are totally single right now, listen up. All of us are to be attentive to what God's Word is saying. Second thing he tells us to do, incline your ear to my sayings. This means be attentive and really listen to what the Word of God's going to say with an attitude of responding to it. Okay? Verse 21, let them not escape from your sight. When you hear the words of God tonight or anytime, don't just let it roll in and roll out. A lot of people don't even read the Bible and call themselves Christians, but many Christians struggle in that they read the Bible, but they don't let it sink in. Last year at Snowbird, we preached a series on what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. This was last spring. This was our teaching series. All of that stuff's online. You can go watch and listen. But we said that the steps of being a disciple of Jesus Christ are listening to what he's going to say, but not just listening, but receiving it into your soul, into your heart, into your mind, and responding in obedience to it, acting then in obedience. So he says, be attentive, incline your ear, don't let these words escape, and keep them within your heart. Wait a minute, how do you keep something in your heart? I got a jacked up heart. I got a heart condition. I've had it since I was 15. When I was 15, they wanted to put me on all kinds of medications. I had a bunch of tests. I was in a varsity basketball game against a rival school. It was a packed gym. I was a freshman or sophomore. It was so intense. It was like the most overwhelming thing in my life at that point. And I remember there were so many people in the gym and people were screaming. It went into two overtimes. The second overtime ended and I collapsed. My heart was malfunctioning. They thought I was going to die. And by God's grace, I didn't die. Obviously, I'm here. Okay. So that's not like a big spoiler alert there. Right. But I had to go through all these tests and they said, you know what? Your heart has got some issues that you're probably going to live with all of your life. And you know what? To this day, I do. I have to go to a cardiologist. I have to go to a guy who's called an electrocardiologist who studies the electrical currents and rhythms of your heart. My heart has got like a mind of its own. So if I could make my heart, my physical heart, listen to me and obey me, y'all, I would do it. I'd be like, hey, dude, just chill out and beat normal. Quit spazzing out. My heart goes crazy. It'll just start right. Da, 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 da. And then sometimes it'll skip beats. Your heart's supposed to be like, like that. Mine'll be like, and then it'll decide to stop beating for a little while. And I'll pass out. And it'll go, hey, just kidding. It'll start beating again. It's crazy. It'll freak you out, man. It's the scariest thing. Okay. So my heart, I'm not putting words in my heart. If I could put words in my heart, I'd say, hey, dummy, knock it off and act right, you know? So what's he talking about when he says, take these words into your heart? Do y'all get it, don't you? When we're talking about the heart that way, I don't need to explain that to you. Like if I said to you, do you know in your heart? No, idiot, I know in my brain, right? No, you know what I'm saying though. Do you know in your heart? Do you believe in your heart? We know that when we're talking about the heart that way, we're talking about like everything that drives your affections, your emotions, your moral compass that says this is right, this is wrong, do this, don't do that. The thing it's from that goodness or wickedness is going to flow from you. So in other words, if a person does something with his hand to hurt another person, is his hand the cause of the problem? No, the cause of the problem is in his heart, we would say. So everybody understands we're talking about the heart. That's what we're talking about. It's the source of what you give out. So what I give out, so if I give out love, that love is coming from my heart. If I give out like wicked words, that's coming from my heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so what Scripture is telling us to do is keep God's truths in your heart. Now we've talked about get wisdom, get wisdom, get wisdom. Guard it, guard it, guard it. And keep the truths that come from it in your heart. Now what he's also saying in verses 20 and 21 is two things that I want you to see. And the first one is God's words will give me life. When we get to verse 22, for they are life to those who find them. If you get God's words in your heart, it's going to give you life. God's word is going to come back out of you. It's not, if you ever heard that saying that comes from the scripture, it's actually a verse of scripture. God's word does not return void. Have you ever heard that? It's a verse one of the old prophets said way before the time of Jesus. And he uses an illustration. He says, when a rain falls to the earth, what happens is it brings forth fruit or grass or whatever's going to grow. It's going to grow because of the rain. And so he says, the word of God's like that. When it falls into your heart, it's going to bring something forth. Now, if you ignore the word of God, you're still going to take things into your heart. Everybody takes things into their heart, whether it's things that your friends say or the influence of the people around you or the world and the culture and the society around you. Our heart is what's sort of driving our actions. So he says, if you'll listen to my words and hear them and take them in, what you're going to find is that they're going to give you life. Man, if there's anything young people need today, it's life from within. Instead of looking for life to come from without. Y'all, this world ain't got nothing for y'all to give you life. Jesus give you life from the inside. He'll satisfy your soul and your deepest longing, and he'll give you joy that's deep down inside. If you've ever had a deep-seated joy that comes from within, nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can take that away from you. Many Christians have died and had their heads cut off or been hanged or been burned or been shot, and they died with joyful words on their lips because it's seated deep down in their heart and their soul. When you're in God's word and you're spending time with the Lord, he's going to give to you that which provides joy. And keep going. Second thing, God's word will bring healing. For they are life to those who find them, verse 22, and healing to all of their flesh. God's word brings healing. Why does this matter? Because as on this weekend, as we focus on relationships, as we focus on sexuality, there are a lot of people in this room. I mean a lot, not like two or three, but a large number of people that you've done things. You've made decisions. You've done things with your body. You've been in sexual relationships or pornographic struggles. And so one of the things that happens when we make those types of decisions is we live with shame and guilt. Live with shame and guilt. God has not called us to live with shame and guilt. He's called us to set us free from shame and guilt. So what he's saying is God's word will set you free from like self-condemnation, where you don't love yourself, you hate yourself, you don't see value in yourself, you listen to the lies the world's telling you, you listen to the lies that your own brokenness is repeating into your ear, and you think that you're not worth loving, or you live in shame, or you live in guilt over your actions. And what Scripture's saying is, as you take God's word into your heart, God's going to start to remove shame and guilt. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I heard a gal recently, she was sharing at a girls' conference that I also spoke at. It was a high school girls' conference. And I don't have anything silver. Let me see if my pocket knife. No, it's like black. But anyway, it was cool. Let me tell you this illustration. She had this, it was like a silver pitcher, like you would pour bright tea. It looked like some British mess or something like. Hey, it's pots of tea. It's tea time. Okay, so it's a little pitcher. It wasn't like a coffee pot. It was like a silver pitcher. It's pretty cool looking. It looked really old. I like old stuff. I really dig old stuff. And she's holding it up, and it's really like tarnished. So if you've ever seen silver that's tarnished, it just looks dirty. It looks really dirty and filthy. And the point she made, and then she turned it around, and she had polished the other side, and it was literally like a reflective mirror. And she made a really cool point. She said, you know what? The side that's polished is not worth any more than the side that's tarnished. The value of silver never changes, no matter what you do to its exterior. And she made a really cool point by saying, your heart before the Lord is like that. Your value in Jesus is like that. No matter what you've experienced or what brokenness you feel, maybe you were abused terribly as a small child, and so you don't feel like you have any value. What the Bible tells us is that you are definitely and infinitely valuable because Jesus has put that value in you. So you can tarnish the outside of silver. It doesn't change the value of it. Isn't that pretty cool? You can take a dirty nickel or you can take a shiny nickel, and they both spend the exact same way. Spend the exact same way because the value doesn't change. And so a lot of people live in guilt and condemnation. And what the second point of verse 22 is, the first one, that God's word gives me life. The second is that God's word brings healing. I'll make a deal with you. If you'll commit to spend time in God's word every day, God will start to bring healing in your life where there's brokenness. Let's keep going. Verse 23. Now we get to our big phrase of the night. Keep your heart, or guard your heart with all vigilance. I like the word vigilance. That's like a military word. Y'all ever see that cat in London that got that big black furry hat and he's standing there with it and he can't smile? Y'all ever seen that dude on TV? Not in person necessarily. I never seen him in person. I don't know what he's guarding, but he's standing. Y'all, have you seen him? Raise your hand if you've seen him. Okay. All right. I don't know what he's, some royal guard or something. And he's standing there and little kids are coming up and they're trying to make him laugh. And he's just he can't smile. And he's not going to smile. And it's always funny to me, but I tell you what's not funny, but what's very, as an American, what's very, emotional to me, coming from a family with a military lineage and people that were wounded in combat, is going to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. You ever been there? If you ever get a chance to go there, it's powerful, especially during the changing of that guard, because that man stands there at attention guarding the corpse, the body of someone who fell in battle. And that man represents all of those who have died fighting for freedom. And so when you think about standing guard with vigilance, the idea is the thing that's being guarded is valuable and it's worth guarding well with vigilance. And so he's saying, guard your heart with all vigilance. Watch this. For from it flow the springs of life. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been around somebody who's negative all the time? Oh, I can't handle that, y'all. I cannot take that. I'm not a negative person, and I can't stand being around negative people. And I spend, me and Amy Davis were talking at lunch today in the metal building. That's Spencer's wife. And we do a lot of work in other countries, and the places we go in other countries are usually very, very, very remote and very persecuted areas, in places in Asia and Africa. And so there's not a lot of freedom for Christians. And we work with church, a small group of Christians in a remote area in the Himalayas, and they're persecuted for their faith. And their greatest fear is that they're going to die for their faith. And when you're around people like that, and then you come here and you hear people complain about the things they complain about, it's like, oh my gosh, please don't do that. Like when somebody, I heard one comedian say, it's funny when somebody says, oh man, that's the worst. Like, I had to stand in line for 15 minutes. That was the worst. Oh, I'm pretty sure there's worse things than that, you know? The one guy, the comedian, he said, it was really funny. He said he dropped his daughter off at the mall. And you seen that? What's his name? Yeah, Tim, what is it? Tim Hawkins. Have you seen that? He's like, she's like, this is the worst. I guess she had to wait for her friends or something. He's like, this is not the worst thing that's going to happen to you. Like, there are going to be bad things that happen. But a lot of people are just naturally negative. Like, some people, you learn really quick not to ask them how they're doing. Hey, man, how's it going? No, I don't really want to know. I was just kidding. Just kidding. Other people are really enjoyable to talk to. Hey, what's going on? Man, I'm living life. It's good. It's good. I'm happy. Joy of the Lord is my strength. God is good. He's given me so much. You know, so like some people are negative. Some people are positive. Some people are not even Christians and they're positive. But negativity doesn't have a place in a believer's life. And so coming out of your heart. So here, watch this. All through Proverbs 4, what we looked at last night and what we're looking at tonight is wisdom and goodness and God's word and God speaking and truth. As it's going into your heart and your mind, what's going to happen is, boom, it's going to explode and gush right back out. You ever been to the dentist and have a cavity filled? Ooh, that's not happy. They drill that thing out. And the smell and the sound, even though you're numb, is not happy, right? And they take water and they squirt water down into that cavity. But the water doesn't stay in the cavity. It runs in, flushes it, and explodes back out of it. And what's it doing? It's having a cleansing effect. It's taking away. So like as God's word goes in and as you get wisdom, it's going to explode back out in your heart. According to verse 23, is a spring of life. So, he says, guard or keep your heart with vigilance because it's a spring of life. And people, so here's what people do. They say, oh, when it comes to dating, you got to guard your heart. Well, that's not what the text is saying. It don't say nothing about no dating. What he's doing is he's saying, let me call you to something higher. You want to know how to be a man or woman who understands relationships? Fill your heart with goodness from God, and you won't need to fill your heart with the weakness that that someone else might offer you. So he's painting this picture of as God's word and wisdom come in, and then they flow out, you're going to be a spring of life. You're going to flow out springs of life, and you're going to give to other people. Now, this is where wisdom is like acting itself out. So the Bible, we said last night, that in Proverbs chapters 1 through 9, wisdom is personified as a lady. And so what you've got is sort of this picture that anytime you see people doing good things, someone showing kindness to somebody, somebody doing charity, somebody showing love, a compassionate moment between a father and a daughter or between two friends, someone preparing a meal and feeding someone out of hospitality. He says what's driving that and causing that is wisdom. Wisdom. You know what you need when it comes to like the choices you're going to make in your relationships? You need wisdom. You need wisdom. I'm not interested this weekend in giving you a bunch of rules of dating. That's not where God's led me this weekend. That's not the direction he's led us for this conference. He's led us to challenge you from his word to get wisdom, and then out of your heart will flow springs of life. You'll become a source of life, and in that, You'll make good relationship decisions. You'll find joy in Christ. You'll find fullness in Christ. You'll find fulfillment in Christ. Now, there is a practical side to this idea of guarding your heart when it comes to relationships. So how do you guard? So what am I guarding? Oh, I'm guarding this thing, this wisdom and God's word and what God's doing. And I'm guarding in what's going out. Like, what am I saying? How am I acting? How am I loving people? What am I getting out of relationship? And so it's this. In relationships, am I more a giver or a taker? Some people are more givers. Now watch this. Watch this. Some people give, and that can be very unhealthy. That can be very unhealthy because people be taking advantage of you. And if you give, people will learn that. They'll take advantage of you, and they will take advantage of you in a way that will cause damage and harm to your heart. Other people are takers. Take. Give me, what do I get out of the deal? Give me. I want you to serve me. A lot of times this happens in a relationship between a boy and a girl where one person or the other is making demands and dragging from this person what they want. And it's very unhealthy. What the scripture would say is, as God's wisdom comes in and life goes forth, I need to guard those interactions so that it's life that's going out of me. So I'm guarding what I'm giving. I'm guarding what I'm taking. So how does this apply? This is the big question of the weekend that everybody came for. How does this apply to dating and relationships? I'm glad you asked. Thank you. How do you guard your heart? A great promise that helps us understand this is in the only other place in Scripture that this phrase, guard your heart, is used. Watch this. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's interesting. Same phrase. Proverbs 4, guard your heart with all vigilance because out of it flows springs of life. Philippians 4, verse 7, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. Anytime you can bring two perspectives to something, it helps us understand it a little better, sheds more light. So in these verses, we're told that the peace of God will guard our hearts and mind, and in that basically protect us from like anxiety or depression or the things that cause us to make poor decisions because we're not in a clear mind. Watch this. Philippians 4, it says that our hearts will be guarded through two things. Verse 6, if you go backwards, two things that are going to guard your heart: by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Spend time, listen, it's so simple. Spend time with Jesus, man. Spend time in prayer. Talk to God. Tell him your burdens. Tell him your heart. I talk to so many kids who are like, I don't know what to do. I'm so broken. I'm so sad. I'm messed up. I'm jacked up. And it's like, I am. I'm broke. It's like, well, why don't you quit talking about you for a minute? I ain't coming down on y'all. But stop talking about you and talk about Jesus. And talk to Jesus. And listen to Jesus. And in that process, he says in verse 6, Philippians 4, 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. In other words, pray and give thanks. You know what? When you're in the middle of giving thanks for something, it's impossible in that frame of mind to also complain. Give thanks for God's goodness. You come from a broken home, your boyfriend ain't going to fix that. Jesus will. And he may not fix it by putting it all back together. He'll fix it by putting it right in your heart and giving you joy and giving you fulfillment and helping you see purpose and value in your life. So many kids turn to relationships in this world that are not going to bring healing. They're going to bring more destruction. He says, man, you guard your hearts. And as you're guarding your heart with wisdom, and you're guarding what's coming in and what's going out, and you're guarding this spring of life, then also guard your mind through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving as you pray and give thanks to God. What you're going to find is that he's the one guarding you. He's going to guard you. Go back to that scene last night with me and little Addison. Addison, where you at, baby girl? Was that you? They got behind. That was a cool spot, wasn't it? Like, she was guarded. You feel very safe when you were behind me? You should have. Well, I got a leg that weighs as much as you. I mean, she's like just tucked away back there, just disappeared. If you can imagine, the Bible says, there's this scene that says our life is hid in Christ. We're hidden in Christ. And there's another really cool picture in Scripture that basically says, if you could imagine, like, imagine, I'm illustrative. I got to use my hands. And so we'll say this pen represents you, okay? And the Holy Spirit is in you. I'm making this up as I go, so we'll see how it works out. That's how I do all my illustrations, okay? So there's Holy Spirit filling you up. Whoop. Okay, there we go. Holy Spirit fills you up. Now watch this. God the Father, God the Son, binding together in their love for each other, brought up and knit together by the Holy Spirit, and you're all up in the middle of it. Okay? The Bible says that's the way God loves you, and that is the way he guards you. So if you'll leave yourself hidden in Christ, the love of God for the Son is what binds you. It's not just, that's more valuable. It's bigger than just God loves you. Because if you, for those of us that come from divorced families, here's what we know. When mom and dad split up, you hurt. True or false? Yeah, all the divorced kids say, yeah, that's true. It hurts. It breaks my heart that my folks split up. I'm like, wait. I know my daddy loved me. My dad passed away years ago, but I know my dad loved me. It was a little bit screwed up. He was a broken man, but I know he loved me. And I know my mama loved me. My mama praying for me tonight. She texted, my mom loves Jesus and loves me. But there's something more powerful in the love between a mother and a father that child feels. And if you come from a healthy, strong marriage in the home, you know, you may not have even identified that, but you get it. I see it with my youngest two children who have been adopted. When I pick them up between me and little, I like to pick, I get one kid right here, and then I grab little, and I go, whoa, and I heave them both up, and I go, and I squeeze like this. And that kid's not only feeling love for mama and daddy, he's feeling mama and daddy's love for each other. So God the Father and God the Son are loving each other, and you're brought up in the middle of that. If you ever dwell in that place for 5 seconds, you will not look to boys or girls in your high school to fulfill what's needy in your soul. Because you'll feel a deep satisfaction in Jesus. Now, we still gonna do relationships. We still gotta do relationships. God called us to relationship, man. He created marriage. He created sex. He created it to be good, to be fulfilling. He created it to be holy and to reflect his glory somehow. So we're going to do relationships, not like, oh, I got Jesus, I don't need anybody else. Okay, no, I got Jesus, so now I can have joyful relationships where the pressure is off this other person to fulfill me because Jesus is already fulfilling me, so we can just have a good time with this. It's like two people enjoying a meal where both are enjoying what's right in front of them and they're enjoying the moment being shared together. Relationships are like that. Now, when does your heart become unguarded? I'm going to run through a couple of lists here right quick, and we'll be done. Y'all hanging in there? You good? I told you came for the Bible. That's why we're here. We ain't come to ride on swings. We love the swings. They're good. We're building another 3-man swing. We'll have 2 next time you come back. Come on. Woo! It's going to be 2 back-to-back, like double the fun. Okay, you can't ride them both at once, though. So. All right, that would not work out for you. All right, 4 things. When does your heart become unguarded? Number one, when you move too fast in a relationship. Oh, I'm in love with him. He's the man. I want to marry him. Ooh, I'm in love. No, you're not. You've known him 7.5 minutes. Like you had one class with him, one block for like 1 week of school. He's not, you don't even know him. Oh man, she's so hot. I'm in love with her, man. I'm gonna marry that girl. Please, I'm gonna marry her. We're gonna grow old together and we're gonna make babies and we're gonna raise a family and I'm gonna be her man and she's gonna be, and you've known her for like since yesterday. Okay? All right, so people get unguarded when the relationship moves too fast. So pump the brakes. Strong relationships require strong foundations. Strong foundations require time to be laid and built. Like, you don't build a strong foundation like tonight in a relationship. Like the long, think about it. Your strongest relationships in your life are the ones that have been strong for a long period of time. If you ever had a friend that you've gone through a lot of, because what happens is over time, you learn each other, you go through things together, you need to see, look, you're like, I'm in love. And like, you ain't even seen how that person reacts to adversity yet. Like that person might completely unravel. I'll never forget. Like, I don't want to date. I want to find me a wife. I was a new Christian. I want to find a wife. I just want to get married. I was 20 years old. I didn't want to do the dating thing. And I went, somebody told me, hey, this girl, you know, she was from Ohio. I like to bow hunt, and there's a lot of good hunting in Ohio, and her family farmed. I was like, yeah, okay. They're like, y'all need to go out. Y'all going to hit it off just great. I went out with this girl. I was like, man, she's awesome. I really like her. I had a class with her. I was like, that's cool. Okay, yeah, so we'll do that again. We went out the second time, and I realized, and I ain't going to say nothing ugly about her, I realized we were not right for each other for a couple of reasons. And I think I was probably the broken one. I was probably jacked up. I was like, it takes a little time to figure these things out. So people become unguarded when they move too fast in relationship. Your heart becomes unguarded when you don't seek God and His will for your life and for relationships. A lot of times you'll see this where a person gets so struck and smitten by another person that they'll justify being with that person, even though they know deep down in their heart that that's not what God would have. A perfect example would be when a Christian is fallen for a non-Christian and they justify it in their mind and they say, now listen to me, y'all. Listen to me, young people. God does not call 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old people to date unbelievers with the purpose of winning them to Jesus. That's not the way the gospel does its work. I have young people believe that all the time. And the Bible says, like, no, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. Sometimes two people come together, get married. One person comes to faith in Jesus. And then God uses that person to reach the other person. But God's not going to send you to date an unbeliever so you can win him back to Jesus. That flies in the face of Scripture. God calls us to unite and join ourselves in these types of relationships with believers. That's critical. It's very important. Number three. Hearts become unguarded when communication is not solid. Most people, it takes years to learn how to communicate clearly. And so people don't communicate. You ever try to figure out what somebody's thinking? It don't work real good. For example, texting is the worst. Because you can't hear the tone of their voice. You can't see their eyeballs. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the worst text to ever get when you ask somebody something. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Wait, was that like a, it's fine? Or was that, no, it's fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, what did they mean? Like, learning to communicate is a big deal. A lot of people's hearts get unguarded because they don't communicate good in a relationship. Now, watch this. Not communicating with each other and both people not communicating with God. You got to be in constant communication with the Lord, and then you're constant communication with this person, and you speak and you say what you mean, and you don't play stupid little silly games where you like try to make the other person figure out how you're feeling. You just speak clearly. You communicate. When you're not communicating good, your heart gets unguarded. Number four, the last one, heart becomes unguarded when you let other people drive you into or toward relationships. Follow God's guidance and strong counsel from the Bible and from godly people. Trust someone who's trustworthy because they didn't want anything from you. Okay, let me explain this. Okay, so a lot of times people end up dating somebody just because their friends want them to date somebody. Oh, you guys would be such a cute couple. What does that even mean? A cute couple. Please don't ever call me cute anything. Like as a dude, I don't want that word attached to me. I'm a man. Fellas, don't be okay with being called cute. A lot of guys want to be called cute. Puppy dogs are cute. I'm a man. I got hair on my chest. Like I got a beard. Like I'm a man. I'm not cute. So people be like, oh, you make such a cute couple. Fellas be like, no, I ain't. Well, okay, then that ain't gonna work. Because I ain't going for cute. I'm a man, she's a woman, we're gonna make it work. All right? But a lot of times people, they're like all about being in a relationship because everybody else thinks it's a good idea. Well, what does Jesus think about it? What does your youth pastor think about it? If you have godly parents, what do they think about it? And here's the thing. You might swear on your own oath that this is the person for me. I know it is. And we just need to be together right now. You're 15, 16. and your parents or your youth pastor, somebody saying, that's not a good idea, just wait. I can tell you right now, if you're supposed to be with that person, waiting from sophomore year till you graduate is not going to make you not supposed to be with them. Does that make sense? You're supposed to be with them. You're supposed to be with them. It'll work out, and you'll get stronger along the way. But people let other people decide these things for them too often. Here's the thing. You need to ask someone for their investment and their counsel into your life. You need to ask someone who wants nothing back from you. Wants nothing back from you. Somebody can say to you, I love you. I'll tell you the truth. I'll help you in any way I can. And you don't owe me anything. See, when you're trying to go through a relationship with a person of the opposite sex, one way or another, that person wants something back from you. Now, hopefully it's godly. Hopefully they want companionship and they want to cultivate a relationship and they want to grow that. But sometimes they want something that's purely ungodly. You need someone speaking into your life that will help you guard your heart by saying, hey, I don't want anything from you, but I care enough about you to tell you the truth. And sometimes hearing the truth from somebody like that is not very comfortable. It's not what you want. Last thing. In conclusion, I heard this gal that talked about the silver. I told her after the session, I was like, hey, I want to use this. I'm speaking at Pure and Holy Conference in a couple weeks. I'm going to use this. Her whole lecture message, talk or whatever that night, she said there are three things that you need to do to guard your heart, and I'm going to use those three right here. Number one, she said, guard your thoughts. Guard your thoughts. Scripture says we have the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 say the weapons we fight with are not of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish every argument and pretension that raises itself up against the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we bring into captivity every thought to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. You take your thoughts captive. You submit them to the authority of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, we have the mind of Christ. And Paul will tell the Philippians, whatever things are good and pure and right and true, think on those things. Think on those things. Number two, she said, guard your time. Guard your time. How do you spend your time? I will admit to you, I'm the biggest time waster I know. I was so bad in school, man. I was so bad. I daydream. Most of my wasted time is spent just daydreaming. I don't play video games. I don't go. Like, I will literally daydream for hours all day about nothing. Like where did I just go for the last 19 minutes? I don't know. You ever be driving down the road and you're like, exit 230. Last time I remembered noticing, I was at like exit 180. And I don't remember anything from here to there. You know, like maybe I got some issues from things that happened back in the younger days. I don't know. But like my mind, like my thoughts got to be guarded or they just wander and drift. But also my time needs to be guarded. So guard your time. How do you spend your time? For me, the two run together, thoughts and time. My thought life kind of drives what I'm doing and how I'm spending my time. So do you obsess over social media? Do you obsess over video games? Do you obsess with your favorite Netflix series? We've all done this. You get hooked into a series. You binge watch that sucker. And when you're done, you feel so fulfilled and so terrible at the same time. You're like, oh, I cannot believe I've not slept in 36 hours. I just watched 4.5 seasons of Walking Dead, zombies getting stabbed in the face with pitchforks. What is wrong with me? But it was so fun. Okay, so guard your time. Guard your time. So just like make sure, am I setting aside time focused on Jesus every day in his word and spending time with him? And lastly, guard your treasure. What do you treasure the most? If you treasure the fulfillment that comes from someone like giving you affection. Listen, ladies, if you've got daddy wounds, you're going to find a great treasure in a boy giving you affection. When that boy's gone, you're going to go to the next boy. When he's gone, you're going to go to the next boy. It's like you're sticking a needle in your arm and getting a boy fix every time one moves on. And that boy, no boy can be your treasure. But Jesus can be your treasure, and he'll satisfy your deepest longings and fulfill you. And here's what the conclusion of it all will be. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. You keep, this is God's promise to us. God's promise to us. As we guard our thoughts, guard our time, guard our treasure, guard our hearts, guard what's coming in, what's going out. Listen to this. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. the psalmist David would say, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And the picture is that when you plant your feet firmly on the rock of Jesus and you hold fast to him, you can trust him. And literally, he will keep perfect peace over your mind. Many of you here tonight, what you need is peace in your mind. You need peace in your heart. Some of you, you just need to know Jesus. You need to come to faith in Jesus. And tonight, as we close with a time of singing, I want to challenge you to go before the Lord, submit your ways to him, surrender your thoughts, your time, your treasure, turn to Jesus and receive whatever he has for you tonight. If you don't know the Lord, we'd love to pray with you and help you have an understanding of salvation. If you don't know Jesus, and you know you don't know Jesus, and you want to enter into a relationship with Jesus tonight, there's nothing we'd love more than to pray with you and help you understand that. Your youth pastor would love to talk to you about that. But for a lot of us, we need to refocus our treasure. We need to refocus how we're spending our time and what our thought lives look like. And we need to guard what's coming in and guard what's going out and find total satisfaction and peace in Jesus. Amen? Let me pray and we'll sing together to close our time out. God, I pray that as you prepare our hearts to worship through song, it's been a long session, long, long session. But what a good day we've had. We've played hard. We've enjoyed the teaching of your word, fellowship with other believers, small group time, share group time. And it's been good. We got to pray as our day winds down. I pray for young people here that maybe don't have a relationship with you, that tonight you call somebody to salvation. They put their trust in you. They'd say, I want to follow Jesus. I pray for young men and women that are in relationships that don't honor you, that you'd help them to honor you by getting wisdom, gaining discernment, having the knowledge of your word come in and the spring of life flow out. I pray for those in this room that maybe are struggling under guilt and shame, that you'd lift their head, smile upon their face, let them gaze upon yours and see the peace that you offer. And you give them healing tonight, Lord. We love you and thank you for your word. We sing to you now because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.